Chapter 3. The Circuit of Commodity Capital. The general formula for the circuit of commodity capital is increased commodity to increased money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity. Increased commodity appears not alone as the product, but also as the premise of the two previous circuits, since that which money to commodity means for the one capital, increased commodity to increased money means for the other, inasmuch as at least a part of the means of production is itself the commodity product of other individual capitals describing their circuits. In our case, for instance, coal, machinery, etc., represent the commodity capital of the mine owner, of the capitalist machine manufacturer, etc. Furthermore, we have shown in Chapter 1, Section 4, that not only the circuit productive capital through to productive capital, but also the circuit increased commodity through to increased commodity, is assumed even in the first repetition of money through to increased money, before this second circuit of money capital is completed. If reproduction takes place on an extended scale, then the final increased commodity is greater than the initial increased commodity, and should therefore be designated here as enlarged commodity. The difference between the third form and the first two is as follows. First, in this case, the total circulation with its two antithetical phases opens the circuit, while in the Form 1 the circulation is interrupted by the process of production, and in Form 2 the total circulation with its two complementary phases appears merely as a means of effecting the process of reproduction, and therefore constitutes the movement mediating between productive capital through to productive capital. In the case of money through to increased money, the form of circulation is money to commodity through to increased commodity to increased money equals money to commodity to money. In the case of productive capital through to productive capital, it has the inverted form increased commodity to increased money, money to commodity, equals commodity to money to commodity. In the case of increased commodity to increased commodity, it likewise has this form. Secondly, when circuits 1 and 2 are repeated, even if the final points, increased money and increased productive capital, form the starting points of the renewed circuit, the form in which increased money and increased productive capital were produced disappears. Increased money equals money plus surplus value, and increased productive capital equals productive capital plus surplus value, begin the new process as money and productive capital. But in the Form 3, the starting point, commodity, must be designated as increased commodity, even if the circuit is renewed on the same scale, for the following reason. In Form 1, as soon as increased money as such opens a new circuit, it functions as money capital, as an advance in money form of the capital value that is to produce surplus value. The size of the advanced money capital, augmented by the accumulation achieved during the first circuit, has increased. But whether the size of the advanced money capital is £422 or £500, does not alter the fact that it appears as simple capital value. Increased money no longer exists as self-expanded capital or a capital pregnant with surplus value, as a capital relation. Indeed, it is to expand itself only during its process. The same is true of productive capital through to increased productive capital. Increased productive capital must steadily continue to function as productive capital, as capital value which is to produce surplus value, and must renew its circuit. The commodity capital circuit, on the contrary, does not open with just capital value, but with capital value augmented in the commodity form. Hence, it includes, from the start, the circuit of not only capital value existing in the form of commodities, but also of surplus value. Consequently, if simple reproduction takes place in this form, the increased commodity at the terminal point is equal in size to the increased commodity at the starting point. If a part of the surplus value enters into the capital circuit, an enlarged increased commodity appears at the close instead of increased commodity. This is merely a larger increased commodity than that of the preceding circuit, with a larger accumulated capital value. Hence it begins its new circuit with a relatively larger, newly created surplus value. In any event, increased commodity always inaugurates the circuit as a commodity capital which is equal to capital value plus surplus value. Increased commodity, as commodity, does not appear in the circuit of an individual industrial capital as a form of this capital, but as a form of some other industrial capital, so far as the means of production are the product of the latter. The act money to commodity, that is, money to means of production, of the first capital, is increased commodity to increased money for this second capital. In the Circulation Act, money to commodity, labour power and means of production as parts of commodity bear identical relations, as they are commodities in the hands of their sellers. On the one hand, the labourers who sell their labour power, on the other, the owner of the means of production who sells these. For the purchaser, whose money here functions as money capital, labour power and means of production function merely as commodities until he has bought them, so long as they confront his capital existing in the form of money as commodities of others. Labour power and means of production differ here only in this respect, that means of production may be increased commodity, hence capital, in the hands of its seller if means of production is the commodity form of his capital, while labour power is always nothing else but a commodity for the labourer, and becomes capital only in the hands of its purchaser as a constituent part of productive capital. For this reason, increased commodity can never open any circuit as a mere commodity, as a mere commodity form of capital value. As commodity capital, it is always twofold. From the point of view of use value, it is the product, in the present case yarn, of the functioning of productive capital, whose elements labour power and means of production, coming as commodities from the sphere of circulation, have functioned only as factors in the creation of this product. Secondly, from the point of view of value, it is the capital value productive capital, plus the surplus values produced by the functioning of productive capital. It is only in the circuit described by increased commodity itself that commodity equal to productive capital and equal to the capital value can and must separate from that part of increased commodity in which the surplus value is lodged. It does not matter whether the two things can be actually separated, as in the case of yarn, or whether they cannot, as in the case of a machine. They always become separable as soon as increased commodity is transformed into increased money. If the entire commodity product can be separated into independent, homogeneous, partial products, as in the case of our 10,000 pounds of yarn, and if, therefore, the act increased commodity to increased money can be represented by a number of successive sales, then the capital value in the form of commodities can function as commodity. It can be separated from increased commodity before the surplus value, hence before increased commodity in its entirety has been realized. Of the £10,000 of yarn worth £500, the value of £8,440, equal to £422 sterling, is equal to the capital value less the surplus value. If the capitalist sells first £8,440 of yarn at £422 sterling, then these £8,440 of yarn represent commodity, the capital value in commodity form. The surplus product of £1,560 of yarn, contained besides in increased commodity and equal to a surplus value of £78 sterling, does not circulate until later. The capitalist could get through commodity to money to commodity before the circulation of the surplus product, commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, is accomplished. Or, if he sells £7,440 of yarn worth £372, and then £1,000 of yarn worth £50, he might replace the means of production, the constant capital, with the first part of commodity, and the variable capital, the labour power, with the second part of commodity, and then proceed as before. But if such successive sales take place, and the conditions of the circuit permit it, the capitalist, instead of separating increased commodity into constant capital plus variable capital plus surplus value, may make such a preparation also in the case of aliquot parts of increased commodity. For example, the £7,440 of yarn, worth £372, which as parts of increased commodity, £10,000 of yarn worth £500, represent the constant part of capital, may themselves be separated into 5,535.360 pounds of yarn worth £276.76.8, which replace only the constant part, the value of the means of production used up in producing £7,440 of yarn. £744 of yarn worth £37.20, which replace only the variable capital, and £1,160.640 of yarn worth £58.02, which, being surplus product, are the depositories of surplus value. Consequently, on selling the £7,440 of yarn, he can replace the capital value contained in them out of the sale of £6,279.360 of yarn at the price of £313.96.8, and he can spend as his revenue the value of the surplus product, amounting to £1,160.640, or £58.3.2 sterling. In the same way, he may divide up another £1,000 of yarn, equal to £50 sterling, equal to the variable capital value, and sell them accordingly, £744 of yarn worth £37.20, constant capital value contained in £1,000 of yarn, £100 of yarn worth £5, variable capital value ditto, hence £844 of yarn worth £42.20, replacement of the capital value contained in the £1,000 of yarn. Finally, £156 of yarn worth £7.80, representing the surplus product contained in it, which may be consumed as such. Finally, he may divide the remaining £1,560 of yarn worth £78 sterling in such a way, provided he succeeds in selling them, that the sale of £1,160.640 of yarn worth £58.32 replaces the value of the means of production contained in those £1,560 of yarn, and that £156 of yarn worth £7.80 replaces the variable capital value. Altogether, £1,316.640 of yarn equal to £65.83.2, replacement of the total capital value. Finally, the surplus product of £243.360 equal to £12.16.8 remains to be spent as revenue. All the elements, constant capital, variable capital and surplus value contained in the yarn are divisible into the same component parts, and so is every individual pound of yarn, worth 1 shilling or 12 pence. Constant capital equals 0.744 pounds of yarn equals 8.928 pence. Variable capital equals 0.100 pounds of yarn equals 1.2 pence. Surplus value of 0.156 pounds of yarn equals 1.872 pence. Constant capital plus variable capital plus surplus value equals 1 pound of yarn equals 12 pence. If we add the results of the three partial sales, we obtain the same result on selling the entire £10,000 at one sweep. We have of constant capital, at the first sale, £5,535.36 of yarn equals £276.768 sterling. At the second sale, £744 of yarn equals £37.2 sterling. At the third sale, £1,160.64 of yarn equals £58.032 sterling. Total, £7,440 of yarn equals £372 sterling. Of variable capital, at the first sale, £744 of yarn equals £37.2 sterling. At the second sale, £100 of yarn equals £5 sterling. At the third sale, £156 of yarn equals £7.8 sterling. Total, £1,000 of yarn equals £50 sterling. Of surplus value, at the first sale, £1,160.64 of yarn equals £58.032 sterling. At the second sale, £156 of yarn equals £7.8 sterling. At the third sale, £243.36 of yarn equals £12.168 sterling. Total, £1,560 of yarn equals £78 sterling. Grand total, £10,000 of yarn equals £500 sterling. Increased commodity to increased money in itself stands merely for the sale of £10,000 of yarn. These £10,000 of yarn, like all other yarn, are a commodity. The purchaser is interested in the price of 1 shilling per pound, or of £500 for £10,000. If, during the negotiations, he goes into the value composition of the yarn, he does so simply with the insidious intention of proving that it could be sold at less than 1 shilling per pound and would still be a good bargain for the seller. But the quantity purchased by him depends on his requirements. If he is, for example, the owner of a weaving mill, it depends on the composition of his own capital functioning in this enterprise, not on the composition of the spinners of whom he buys. The proportions in which increased commodity has to replace on the one hand the capital used up in its production, or the various component parts of this capital, and on the other to serve as surplus product either for the spending of the surplus value or for the accumulation of capital, exist only in the circuit of capital which has as its commodity form the £10,000 of yarn. These proportions have nothing to do with the sale as such. In the present case, it is assumed, besides, that increased commodity is sold at its value, so that it is only a question of its transformation from the commodity form into the money form. It is, of course, of decisive importance with regard to increased commodity, the functional form in the circuit of this individual capital out of which the productive capital is to be replaced, to what extent, if at all, there is a discrepancy between price and value in the sale. But this does not concern us here in the examination of mere distinctions of form. In Form 1, or money through to increased money, the process of production intervenes midway between the two complementary and mutually opposite phases of the circulation of capital. It is passed before the concluding phase, increased commodity to increased money, begins. Money is advanced as capital, is first transformed into the elements of production, and from these into the commodity product, and this commodity product, in its turn, is changed back into money. It is a full and complete business cycle that results in money, something everyone can use for everything. A new start is therefore only a possibility. Money through productive capital, through to increased money, may be either the last circuit that concludes the functioning of some individual capital being withdrawn from business, or the first circuit of some new capital entering upon its function. The general movement is here money through to increased money, from money to more money. In Form 2, productive capital through increased commodity to increased money to commodity through to productive capital or increased productive capital, the entire circulation process follows after the first productive capital and precedes the second productive capital. But it takes place in the opposite order from that of Form 1. The first productive capital and its function is the productive process, the prerequisite of the succeeding circulation process. The concluding productive capital, on the other hand, is not the productive process. It is only the renewed existence of the industrial capital in its form of productive capital. And it is such as a result of the transformation during the last phase of circulation of the capital value into labour power plus means of production, into the subjective and objective factors which, by combining, constitute the form of existence of the productive capital. The capital, whether productive capital or increased productive capital, is at the end once more present in a form in which it must function anew, as productive capital must again perform the productive process. The general form of the movement productive capital through to productive capital is the form of reproduction, and, unlike money through to increased money, does not indicate the self-expansion of value as the object of the process. This form makes it, therefore, so much easier for classical political economy to ignore the definite capitalistic form of the process of production, and to depict production as such as the purpose of this process, namely, that as much as possible must be produced, and as cheaply as possible, and that the product must be exchanged for the greatest variety of other products, partly for the renewal of production, money to commodity, partly for consumption, money surplus value to commodity surplus value. It is then possible to overlook the peculiarities of money and money capital, for money and money surplus value appear here merely as transient media of circulation. The entire process seems simple and natural, that is, possesses the naturalness of a shallow rationalism. In the same way, profit is occasionally forgotten in commodity capital, and the latter figures merely as a commodity when the production circuit as a whole is under discussion. But as soon as the constituents of value are debated, commodity capital figures as commodity capital. Accumulation, of course, is seen in the same light as production. In Form 3, increased commodity to increased money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity, the two phases of the circulation process open the circuit, and do so in the same order which obtains in Form 2, productive capital through to productive capital. Next follows productive capital, with its function, the productive process, the same as in Form 1. The circuit closes with the result of the process of production, increased commodity. Just as in Form 2, the circuit closes with productive capital, the merely renewed existence of productive capital, so here it closes with increased commodity, the renewed existence of commodity capital. Just as Form 2 capital, in its concluding form productive capital, must start the process over again as a process of production, so here, upon the reappearance of industrial capital in the form of commodity capital, the circuit must reopen with the circulation phase, increased commodity to increased money. Both forms of the circuit are incomplete, because they do not close with increased money, the capital value retransformed into money and self-expanded. Both must therefore be continued, and consequently include the reproduction. The total circuit in Form 3 is increased commodity through to increased commodity. The third form is distinguished from the first two by the fact that it is only in this circuit that the self-expanded capital value, and not the original one, the capital value that must still produce surplus value, appears as the starting point of its self-expansion. Increased commodity, as a capital relation, is here the starting point, and, as such relation, has a determining influence on the entire circuit, because it includes the circuit of the capital value as well as that of the surplus value in its first phase, and because the surplus value must at least in the average, if not in every single circuit, be expended partly as revenue, go through the circulation, commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, and must perform the function of an element of capital accumulation. In the form increased commodity through to increased commodity, the consumption of the entire commodity product is assumed as the condition of the normal course of the circuit of capital itself. The individual consumption of the labourer and the individual consumption of the unaccumulated part of the surplus product comprise the entire individual consumption. Hence, consumption, in its totality, individual as well as productive, enters into the circuit increased commodity as a condition of it. Productive consumption, which essentially includes the individual consumption of the labourer, since labour power is a continuous product with certain limits of the labourer's individual consumption, is carried on by every individual capital. Individual consumption, except in so far as it is required for the existence of the individual capitalist, is here assumed to be only a social act, but by no means an act of the individual capitalist. In Forms 1 and 2, the aggregate movement appears as a movement of advanced capital value. In Form 3, the self-expanded capital, in the shape of the total commodity product, forms the starting point, and has the form of moving capital, commodity capital. Not until its transformation into money has been accomplished does the movement branch out into movements of capital and of revenue. The distribution of the total social product, as well as the special distribution of the product for each individual commodity capital, into an individual consumption fund on the one hand, and into a reproduction fund on the other, is included in this form in the circuit of capital. In money through to increased money, possible enlargement of the circuit is included, depending on the volume of money surplus value entering into the renewed circuit. In productive capital through to productive capital, the new circuit may be started by productive capital with the same, or perhaps even a smaller value, and yet may represent a reproduction on an extended scale. For instance, when certain elements of commodities become cheaper on account of increased productivity of labour. Vice versa, a productive capital which has increased in value may, in a contrary case, represent reproduction on a materially contracted scale, as, for instance, when elements of production have become dearer. The same is true of increased commodity through to increased commodity. In increased commodity through to increased commodity, capital in the form of commodities is the premise of production. It reappears as a premise within this circuit in the second commodity. If this commodity has not yet been produced or reproduced, the circuit is obstructed. This commodity must be reproduced, for the greater part, as increased commodity of some other industrial capital. In this circuit, increased commodity exists as the point of departure, of transition, and of the conclusion of the movement. Hence, it is always there. It is a permanent condition of the process of reproduction. Increased commodity through to increased commodity is distinguished from forms 1 and 2 by still another feature. All three circuits have this in common, that capital begins its circular course in the same form in which it concludes it, and thus finds itself in the initial form in which it opens the circuit anew. The initial form, money, productive capital, or increased commodity, is always the one in which capital value is advanced, in form 3, augmented by its surplus value. In other words, its original form in regard to the circuit. The concluding form, increased money, productive capital, or increased commodity, is always a changed form of a functional form which preceded in the circuit and is not the original form. Thus, increased money in form 1 is a changed form of increased commodity. The final productive capital in form 2 is a changed form of money. And this transformation is accomplished in forms 1 and 2 by a simple act of commodity circulation, by a formal change of position of commodity and money. In form 3, increased commodity is a changed form of the productive capital. But here, in form 3, the transformation, in the first place, does not merely concern the functional form of capital, but also the magnitude of its value. In the second place, however, the transformation is not the result of a merely formal change in position pertaining to the circulation process, but of a real transformation experienced by the use form and value of the commodity constituents of the productive capital in the process of production. The form of the initial extreme, money, productive capital, or increased commodity, is the premise of the corresponding circuit, 1, 2, or 3. The form returning in the final extreme is premised and consequently brought about by the series of metamorphoses of the circuit itself. Increased commodity, as the terminal point in the circuit of an individual industrial capital, presupposes only the non-circulation form, productive capital, of the same industrial capital of which it is the product. Increased money, as the terminal point of form 1, as the converted form of increased commodity to increased money, presupposes that money is in the hands of the buyer, exists outside of the circuit, money through to increased money, and is drawn into it and made its own terminal form by the sale of increased commodity. Thus, the terminal productive capital in form 2 presupposes that labour power and means of production, commodity, exist outside and are incorporated in it as its terminal form by means of money to commodity. But apart from the last extreme, the circuit of individual money capital does not presuppose the existence of money capital in general, nor does the circuit of individual productive capital presuppose the existence of productive capital. In Form 1, money may be the first money capital. In Form 2, productive capital may be the first productive capital appearing on the historical scene. But in Form 3, increased commodity, then commodity to increased money to commodity equals labour power plus means of production through to productive capital through to increased commodity, and commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, commodity is presupposed twice outside the circuit. The first time, in the circuit, increased commodity to increased money to commodity. This commodity, so far as it includes means of production, is commodity in the hands of the seller. It is itself commodity capital, so far as it is the product of a capitalist process of production. And even if it is not, it appears as commodity capital in the hands of the merchant. The second time, in the second commodity surplus value of commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, which must likewise be at hand as a commodity so that it can be bought. At any rate, whether they are commodity capital or not, labour power and means of production are just as much commodities as increased commodity, and bear to each other the relation of commodities. The same is true of the second commodity surplus value, of commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value. Inasmuch, therefore, as increased commodity is equal to commodity equals labour power plus means of production, it has commodities as elements for its own production, and must be replaced by the same commodities in the circulation. On the basis that the capitalist mode of production is the prevailing mode, all commodities in the hands of the seller must, besides, be commodity capital. And they continue to be so in the hands of the merchant, or become such if they were not such before. Or they have to be commodities, such as imported articles, which replace original commodity capital, and hence bestow upon it merely another form of existence. As forms of existence of productive capital, the commodity elements, labour power and means of production, of which the productive capital consists, do not possess the same form as in the various commodity markets where they are fetched. They are now united, and so combined they can perform the functions of productive capital. That commodity appears as the premise of commodity only in this Form 3, within the circuit itself, is due to capital in commodity form being its starting point. The circuit is opened by the transformation of increased commodity, insofar as it functions as capital value, regardless of whether it has been increased by the addition of surplus value or not, into those commodities which are its elements of production. But this transformation comprises the entire process of circulation commodity to money to commodity, equal to labour power plus means of production, and is its result. Commodity here stands at both extremes, but the second extreme, which receives its form commodity by means of money to commodity from outside the commodity market, is not the last extreme of the circuit, but only of its first two stages comprising the process of circulation. Its result is productive capital, which then performs its function, the process of production. It is only as the result of this process, hence not as that of the circulation process, that increased commodity appears as the terminal point of the circuit, and in the same form as the starting point, increased commodity. On the other hand, in money through to increased money, and productive capital through to productive capital, the final extremes, increased money and productive capital, are the direct results of the process of circulation. Here, therefore, it is presupposed only at the end that one time increased money and the other time productive capital exist in the hands of others, Insofar as the circuit is made between the extremes, neither money in the one case, nor productive capital in the other, the existence of money as the money of another person and of productive capital as the production process of another capital, appears as the premise of these circuits. Increased commodity, through to increased commodity, on the contrary, presupposes the existence of commodity, equal to labour power plus means of production, as commodities of others in the hands of others. Commodities drawn into the circuit by the introductory process of circulation and transformed into productive capital, as a result of whose functioning increased commodity, once more becomes the concluding form of the circuit. But just because the circuit increased commodity through to increased commodity presupposes within its sphere the existence of other industrial capital in the form of commodity, equal to labour power plus means of production, and means of production comprises diverse other capitals, in our case, for instance, machinery, coal, oil, etc., it clamours to be considered not only as the general form of the circuit, that is, not only as a social form in which every single industrial capital, except when first invested, can be studied, hence not merely as a form of movement common to all individual industrial capitals, but simultaneously also as a form of movement of the sum of the individual capitals, consequently of the aggregate capital of the capitalist class, a movement in which that of each individual industrial capital appears as only a partial movement, which intermingles with the other movements and is necessitated by them. For instance, if we regard the aggregate of commodities annually produced in a certain country, and analyze the movement by which a part of it replaces the productive capital in all individual businesses, while another part enters into the individual consumption of the various classes, then we consider increased commodity through to increased commodity as a form of movement of social capital, as well as of the surplus value or surplus product generated by it. The fact that the social capital is equal to the sum of the individual capitals, including the joint stock capital or the state capital, so far as governments employ productive wage labour in mines, railways, etc., and perform the function of industrial capitalists, and that the aggregate movement of social capital is equal to the algebraic sum of the movements of the individual capitals, does not in any way preclude the possibility that this movement, as the movement of a single individual capital, may present other phenomena than the same movement does when considered from the point of view of a part of the aggregate movement of social capital. In its interconnections with the movements of its other parts, the movement simultaneously solves problems, the solution of which must be assumed when studying the circuit of a separate individual capital, instead of being the result of such a study. Increased commodity through to increased commodity is the sole circuit in which the originally advanced capital value constitutes only a part of the extreme that opens the movement, and in which the movement from its inception thus reveals itself as the total movement of the industrial capital, as the movement of that part of the product which replaces the productive capital, as well as of that part which forms surplus product, and which, on the average, is spent in part as revenue and employed in part as an element of accumulation. Included in this circuit is the expenditure of surplus value as revenue, and to that extent individual consumption is likewise included. The latter is furthermore included for the reason that the starting point, commodity, exists in the form of some utility. But every article produced by capitalist methods is commodity capital, no matter whether its use form destines it for productive or for individual consumption, or for both. Money through to increased money indicates only the value side. The self-expansion of the advanced capital value as the purpose of the entire process, productive capital through to productive capital, or increased productive capital, indicates the process of production of capital as a process of reproduction with a productive capital of the same or of increasing magnitude, accumulation. Revealing itself already in its initial extreme as a form of capitalist commodity production, increased commodity through to increased commodity comprises productive and individual consumption from the start. Productive consumption and the self-expansion of value, therein included, appear only as a branch of its movement. Finally, since increased commodity may exist in a use form which cannot enter any more into the process of production, it is indicated at the outset that increased commodity's various constituents of value, expressed by parts of the product, must occupy a different position, according to whether increased commodity through to increased commodity is regarded as the form of the movement of the total social capital, or as the independent movement of an individual industrial capital. All these peculiarities of the circuit lead us beyond its own confines as an isolated circuit of some merely individual capital. In the formula increased commodity through to increased commodity, the movement of the commodity capital, that is to say, of the total product created capitalistically, appears not only as the premise of the independent circuit of the individual capital, but also as required by it. If the formula and its peculiarities are grasped, it is no longer sufficient to confine oneself to indicating that the metamorphoses increased commodity to increased money and money to commodity are on the one hand functionally defined sections in the metamorphoses of capital, on the other are links in the general circulation of commodities. It becomes necessary to elucidate the intertwining of the metamorphoses of one individual capital with those of other individual capitals, and with that part of the total product which is intended for individual consumption. On analyzing the circuit of an individual industrial capital, we therefore base our studies mainly on the first two forms. The circuit increased commodity through to increased commodity appears as a form of a single individual capital, for instance, in agriculture, where calculations are made from crop to crop. In Formula 2, the sowing is the starting point. In Formula 3, the harvest. Or, to speak with the physiocrats, Formula 2 starts out with the avance, and Formula 3 with the reprise. The movement of capital value appears in Formula 3 from the outset only as a part of the movement of the general mass of products, while in Formulae 1 and 2, the movement of increased commodity constitutes only a phase of the movement of some isolated capital. In Formula 3, commodities in the market are the continuous premise of the process of production and reproduction. Hence, if attention is fixed exclusively on this formula, all elements of the process of production seem to originate in commodity circulation and to consist only of commodities. This one-sided conception overlooks those elements of the process of production which are independent of the commodity elements. Since, in increased commodity through to increased commodity, the starting point is the total product, total value, it turns out that if foreign trade is disregarded, reproduction on an extended scale, productivity remaining otherwise constant, can take place only when the part of the surplus product to be capitalized already contains the material elements of the additional productive capital. That therefore, so far as the production of one year serves as the premise of the following year's production, or so far as this can take place simultaneously with the process of simple reproduction within one year, surplus product is at once produced in a form which enables it to perform the functions of additional capital. Increased productivity can increase only the substance of capital, but not its value. But therewith it creates additional material for the self-expansion of that value. Increased commodity through to increased commodity is the groundwork for Keynes' tableau économique, and it shows great and true discretion on his part that in contrast to money through to increased money, the isolatedly and rigidly retained form of the mercantile system, he selected this form, and not productive capital through to productive capital.